Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. It has been said that many times the Christian is victim of being crucified between two thieves, the thief of the regrets of yesterday and the anxieties of tomorrow. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave as he preaches a message entitled, Stay in this day.
Now, how do you get a feeding of the Word of God? By reading the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Are you putting the Word of God in you daily? I think certainly there's a lot to be said of that in this verse. When Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way, give we our daily bread. When you're asking it, I certainly think that this is a big emphasis of what he was trying to say, spiritually speaking, to his learners, his disciples. That every single day, I've got a word for you. And you can't get the word unless you get out of bed and open the word and put it into your hearts. Now, I read the Bible every single morning. It is not because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a wretch. I read the word of God every single morning because I accumulate so much dirt from the time that I go to bed to the time that I wake up. I read the Word of God every single morning because I already could be a bear in the morning with the busyness and the rush in the morning. If I don't have the Word of God in me, even more so than coffee, I'm even more of a mess. So the very first thing that I do in the morning after I get my drink and I go and I sit at the couch is I open my Bible and I pray, God, speak to me my daily bread. Speak to me what you have for me today. Because today things are going to come my way that I have no clue of. I got a schedule, I got plans, I got ideas, I have an idea of what's going to happen today. But man, things happen every single day unexpectedly to you and me. And Lord, if you would give me that word before I even leave the house, then I'll be better equipped and prepared for whatever it is that I'm going to encounter. So you should not go from Sunday to Wednesday in your spiritual feeding. And if you guys don't come here on Wednesdays, you should certainly not go from Sunday to Sunday. You'll die. You'll dry up. You'll never make it. It would be ridiculous for me to suggest to you that you should go that long without physical food. You would laugh. You would scoff at me. You think, I'm not even going to skip a meal. And you think I'm going to skip a day? All the more so, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need physical and spiritual feedings every single day. So you should read your Bible and pray every single day. This is what Jesus means, I believe, to some degree when he says that this is how you're to pray. So you've got communion, remembering the cross. You've got the person of Jesus. You've got daily devotions. You don't got to be super spiritually smart to do daily devotions either. You don't got to be somebody who knows the Word of God so well. All you have to do is open your Bible to a book like we are going through and say, Lord, speak to me, please, in a way that I can understand, and watch and see how he shows up faithfully every single time. I'll give you an example if you're wondering, well, how does this work? Friday, my mind was going nuts. Now, I've told you guys many of times, my mind, the minute I wake up, my mind is going. That's the type of brain I have. And it doesn't shut down at night. It just goes. I'm thinking about everything 24/7. I'm always intense. I'm always thinking about stuff. And the other morning, I'm trying to do my devotions, and I could not focus for the life of me. It was Friday. I had so much going on. I had a wedding to do. I was trying to get ready for the sermon. We're trying to finish the gym build. So many things going on Friday, and I was already on those things before I even left my house. And I'm reading the scriptures, but I'm not really reading the scriptures. You know what I'm saying? I'm reading the verses, and I'm having to reread the verses, and I'm not making it through very well. I got to the point where I was saying, Lord, I don't even know what you're saying in this book here. Just, I can't get through it. And then all of a sudden, I got to a portion where it said in the book of Hebrews that we are to ask the Lord to reign in our minds, to rein them in. And the Lord gave me, man, just such, he ministered to me through that little portion that just give me your mind, give me your thoughts, I'll order them. I'll sort of prioritize what it is that you're thinking of as you need it through the day. So just a small little thing to show you what I'm talking about, how he gives you your daily bread, okay? These are just some ways for you. Go through a book, let the book go through you, and let God's word speak to you. If you've got the Spirit of God and you've got the Word of God, you've got everything that you need to succeed. Man, I just did that on the spot. That was pretty catchy. Fourthly and finally this morning, as far as I see it, is after my studying of this, and I think this is really what he basically meant, is Lord, provide for us our bare necessities. I think that's what he meant. Give us this day all, I don't think it just was bread, especially for all you low-carb people. You got to be careful with this message. Bread, all you are thinking, I don't eat bread. Okay, well, fine. It's your necessities. It's your necessities. Give me, Lord, every single day what I need. So then, this shows me that Father cares about my practical, personal, temporal possessions in this life. A lot of spiritual people will tell you you shouldn't care about temporal things. A lot of spiritual people will tell you that you should be eternally minded, focused on the kingdom, focused on God. But Jesus is pretty spiritual. Says that we are allowed as his children to come to his Father's throne and say, Father, would you provide for us our physical, temporal, personal needs for today? We're allowed to think about these things. We're allowed to ask for these things. We're allowed to come to God and express desire for these things. Our needs, not our greeds. Let me be clear on that. But nonetheless, our needs. There's real needs in this life. There are real needs. And whatever those needs are, we're allowed to come to God and say, God, this is what I need. The mortgage is due. This is what I need. This kid needs braces. This is what I need. A dose of your grace. This is what I need. My marriage is falling apart. This is what I need. I'm being oppressed at work. This is what I need today. Father, would you provide my daily bread? What I need right now in this life. Lord, you've called me to be single right now. I need grace. Lord, you've called me to be married right now. I need grace. Lord, my child is a prodigal right now. I need your grace. Lord, the doctor said this and this. I need your grace. Whatever I need that day, Lord, would you provide for me those things? I'm not going to think about tomorrow, although I'm allowed to trickle into tomorrow. The Lord doesn't ask us to be fools and not plan for tomorrow. The scriptures are full of planning and purposing for tomorrow and the days after. We're allowed to go into that, but we're to stay in this very day. We can't go to the past because we go too far. We can't handle it. We can't go into the future because we get carried away. It snowballs. We've got to stay in this day. We can trickle ahead, but we should really stay in this day and say, Jesus, this is what I need. This is the provision that I need. Now, I think that the Jews, who were the primary audience of Jesus 2,000 years ago, would immediately think of Exodus chapter 16. Where is the recording of their ancestors and God's provision for them in their wilderness journey? How long was it supposed to take to get from Egypt to the Promised Land? 11 days. 11 days. How long did it take? 40 stinking years. Who was leading the children of Israel? God. Pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. So who then caused it to be a scenic route? God. God was teaching these people of his nature. God was teaching these people in the wilderness of sin, by the way, of his character, of his faithfulness, of his goodness. He was teaching them of themselves, and he was revealing to them more of who he was and who he is. He purposed this 11-day journey to be extended into a 40-year journey because they needed to understand who their God was and what they had in him as they were entering into this pagan nation. And one of those things that they had to understand is their dependency on God. Because a lot of, listen, if you have, even combined in your household, if you make with your spouse or whoever lives with you, your roommate, $30,000 or more, you are in the world's top 1% of being a earner in the whole entire world as far as riches go. So, I mean, we're really rich. We have a hard time understanding, give us this day our daily bread. To the Jew, this meant so much more. To so much of the country and the world, it means so much more. But for you and I here today, I mean, we're sort of upper middle class. Even if you're struggling, you're not struggling like I've been around the world. You're not struggling like many other people are struggling. So we sort of don't fully appreciate this. We sort of zone out. I mean, if you recently lost your job or you've been demoted or you got four kids or something like that, you might understand it a little bit. Or you got like a bunch of teenagers living in your house, eating you out of house and home. You might have think, Lord, how am I going to ever afford Wegmans anymore? You know, that's a battle I understand too. But for the most part, we might get lost in this. But you have to understand, for the Jews, bread and the grain that would be planted and the harvest that would come, I mean, it was so much more than just going to Marticello's and buying a loaf of bread. It was so much more. And God was teaching them. God was teaching them that they had to be dependent upon Him, not their bread, not their salary, not the things that come from Him, but Him Himself. And in Exodus chapter 16, they're murmuring and complaining. They're saying to Moses, what'd you do? You brought us out here to die? I remember the leeks, the garlic, the meat, all that we had in Egypt. It was wonderful. And then you come along, like some big shot, and you take us from what we were enjoying. And they weren't enjoying it. They were slaves in bondage to Pharaoh. But that's what Satan does when God delivers you. He reminds you of your past and He glorifies it. And it wasn't anything to be glorified about. And He delivers them, and then all of a sudden they're saying to Him, is this what you did? You brought us out here to die, and we don't have anything to eat. We're just wandering in the wilderness. We're hot, we're weary, we're tired, we're hungry. And as they're murmuring, Moses goes to God, and God says, Moses, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven, angel's food, called manna, which means, what is it? So God's response to their murmuring was His provision, which tells me and you that we only receive what we receive by His goodness and grace, not because we've earned it or deserved it. And every single day, God says, I'm going to allow manna, an omer per person, to fall, which is equal to 6 ounces in the way that we would term it today. I'm going to allow 6 ounces, or I'm going to allow 6 pints, not ounces, 6 pints, of manna to fall, heavenly bread that tasted like honey, just everything that they need. It's going to fall from the heavens. I'm going to provide for their needs. And all they're going to have to do is get up in the morning and go and gather what I provided for them. Just enough for that day. If they are greedy and they take more than what they need and try to take doggy bags of it, then it's going to stink. Because whenever we break the clear commands of God, it stinks. I'm going to give them just enough per person for what they need a day. I'm going to allow 6 ounces per person, 6 pints per person, to fall of this heavenly food every single day. And I'm going to provide for their needs for 40 years. And they're going to learn that it's from my hand that they have all of their necessities for this life. It's going to be by grace. They haven't earned it. It's going to be a daily thing. They're going to have to go out and they're going to have to get it, which means this, then. God's provision and Him giving us our daily bread doesn't nullify our need to have to work. Because some Christians start going that route with this whole message. Well, if God's going to provide all of my needs and all I have to do is ask Him, He's just going to rain it down from heaven, then I could just sit at my home and just allow Him to provide for me. No, no, no. Your ability to work is God's way of providing for you. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I believe, that when we came to you, we did not come to you begging for money or food or bread or provision. We came to you with hands willing to labor and to work among you. So I'm still going to have to work because God gave me the ability to work to earn what I need for that day living. So as a Christian, you should be far from lazy. You should be the hardest working worker in your workplace to glorify the Lord as He provides for your needs. You should also have extreme security this morning. And this is leading me, this is segueing me into my closing. These are sort of my final thoughts for you on this topic. You should have to work. And secondly, you should also have some extreme security in your God, Jehovah Jireh. So whatever you've got going on today, if you're being challenged in Him providing your daily bread, your bare necessities, because something that is in front of you looks like you're not going to be provided for, you can rest knowing that as long as you do your part, He'll do His part. What is your part? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's your part. And all of these things, what things? Your necessities will be added unto you. These are the things that God asks of us. You do your part. Seek the Lord, live for the Lord, be honest, be hardworking, be integritable. You do your part and he'll do his part. He will provide for your needs. But please make a parenthetical note, not necessarily your greeds. Because sometimes when we don't get what we want, we think that God is not being faithful. God has three answers for us when we ask of him something. Yes, no, and not now. Right? Yes, no, and not now. My son over the summer learned how to ride a bike, a two-wheeler bike. Now that he rides a two-wheeler bike, the other day he said to me as we were driving to school and he saw on this road, he said, Daddy, I think I want a motorcycle now. What was my response? It wasn't no, but it also wasn't yes. It just simply was this, not now, son. I don't think you're ready for a motor yet. You just learned how to ride a bike. I mean, at least get somebody on the pegs and riding the pegs with you and grow a little bit. And then you'll be able to, when you're maybe older, you'll be able to get a bike if your mother will go for it. I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe when she goes away somewhere, we'll buy it for you. She'll come home and we'll say, I don't know how this got here. And I'll have one too, matching bikes. It'll be wonderful. And pickup trucks. Because sometimes God does provide your greeds. But anyways, yes, no, not now. Either which way, he's faithful to provide for you your daily needs. He's Jehovah Jireh. I've seen it because I've lived with parents who were full of faith and loved the Lord all my life. Sometimes it's not till that very day and that very last moment that God shows up and provides for you what it is that you are waiting for him for. Because he wants you to trust in him. So, be a hard worker. Know that your God is extremely faithful and sufficient to provide your every need. And thirdly and finally, in my closing of this message this morning, I would suggest this to you. Be content. Hard thing to do for us Americans. Because Paul said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. A person that is content is an extremely compelling testimony to a lost world. When there's an individual who is content with their lot and God's provision and their daily bread, when there's an individual who's content in what God has graced them with and provided them for, that speaks loud to a world who is very discontent. The world is not content. I've been married to you for this long. I'm not content with you anymore. I'm moving on. I've been working at this place for this long. It's the same old grind, the monotony of the job. I'm done with it. I'm discontent. I've lived in this house for 25 years, 30 years, finally paid my mortgage off, done with it, selling it, building a house that's double the size of it, getting a mortgage again, doing it all over again. I'm going to buy this toy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I need another home. I need another this or gadget or over here. I got this iPhone 2 years ago. Now the iPhone 7's out. You can get it wet. I need this. I have to get this too. You know what I mean? I'll spend $600 if I have to. My contract's not up. I'm not content. I was at Apple the other day. I had to get a new computer. I had to. How else would I study? It's a joke. I don't need a computer to study. Anyways, and I was talking to the lady and I was just asking her about the phone because I am due for a contract and I'm just asking about the phone. And she said, oh, it's ridiculous. She said, this was right before it released on that Friday. So whatever that was, 2 weeks ago. And she says to me, you'd be shocked. Literally, we're months out. People that weren't even due for upgrades and contract renewals, they just dropped $600 on these because they had to have the latest and greatest. And I'm thinking, what a vortex. We get sucked up into this thing of greed and discontentment in our country, and something new comes out, the latest release, the newest model. It's the worst. If it happens to me with the new computer I just got, I'll sell that and get the newest one, the latest and greatest. It's another joke. It's just not good today. Could be me, but maybe it's you guys. I don't know. It'll be that desire for whatever's newest out. But when there's an individual and there's a people that are content and God's provision for them, that speaks loud to the world around us. Amen? So, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. What does it mean? I don't really know. I don't know. I took you through a rigmarole of what I think it could mean and entail. It's so much more than that, but time is up. I would say this, though. When God saves you, he does much more than saves your soul. He saves you in whole. He saves your mind, he saves your body, he saves your spirit, he saves you totally and completely, and he provides for you so wonderfully. So you seek Jesus and do your part. You live for the Lord. And whatever that you're waiting for him to do in your life and how to show up in your life and be faithful to your life, he cannot deny himself. Even though we become faithless at times, he always remains faithful. That is part of the beauty. It's sort of just the extra, you know, benefits of coming to Jesus is that he takes care of everything for you. We don't have to be like the world and worry and fret and be anxious. Let me read something to you. Glad I did all of these notes. They've really come into handy this morning. I love this translation. You guys, if you sit here every week under me, you hear me quote from J.B. Phillips a lot. You should get yourself a copy of J.B. Phillips' translation of the New Testament. It's dynamic. He just breaks it down really wonderfully. Most of what he says I agree with. He said this in 1 Peter 5:7. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern. Isn't that good? You can throw your full weight of anxieties upon him because you, Christian, are his personal concern. Moms and dads, you know why you're so tired every night? Because you got children that are your personal concerns. If you go home today and do nothing more than watch football, hang out, eat, throw in a load of laundry, not really much, so you just sort of hang around, have a lazy day. If that's all you really do, or hang in the yard and enjoy the sunshine, if that's all you really do and you got children, you're going to be exhausted at the end of the day. Because you're still mentally, whether you even realize it or not, you're thinking about, did they eat? At my kid's age, they go to the bathroom because they don't want to stop to go to the bathroom. They start dancing before, and do you have to go to pee? No, I don't have to pee. Why would you think I have to pee? You got to pee, go to the bathroom. Did you eat? Did you go to the bathroom? Have you had any water today? Your eyes look black. I mean, you know, did you wash your hands after you went to the bathroom? You know, all sorts of things. You've got to ask your kids these things. And by the end of the day, you're absolutely exhausted because they are your personal concern. If you're a good parent. And if you love your children that much, how much more our Heavenly Father, who loves us completely in his Son. So Father, give us this day our daily bread. Amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.